The next World Cup, the one in 2022, will be in Qatar, a first for this tiny Persian Gulf country. That means it needs new stadiums and venues, lots of them. So who's building these structures and under what conditions? We've talked on the show about the thousands of migrant workers in Qatar building these facilities. Today, the world's Shirin Jafari brings us the story of one of those workers.
We talk on his night shift.
Yes, I can hear you.
That's the only time, he says, the loud construction site falls quiet. When the heavy machinery stops for a few hours and workers leave to get some rest.
Yes, I'm in my work shift right now. But we can talk, no problem.
Calton, who asked that I only use his first name, works as a security guard at a construction site in Qatar.
Yes.
He's one of hundreds of migrant workers who've come to the Persian Gulf country in the hopes of making some money and sending some of it back home. Back in Kenya, Calton says he struggled to make ends meet.
At home in Kenya, there was no job. The money was not enough for me.
He sold auto parts, but the money was barely enough to feed his wife and six-year-old son. Then, in 2014, he heard about an opportunity, something that gave him hope, a possible way out. There were jobs, good-paying ones, in Qatar, where a construction boom was well underway. Thanks to the 2022 World Cup, Qatar needed stadiums, roads, glitzy hotels, sports venues. That's where the money was. So he did what any millennial would do.
I had to Google it and check out maybe what is it like.
Page after page, Calton saw a life he could only dream of.
I saw it's one of the richest countries in the world. I saw it maybe has one of the highest GDP per capita. People live in apartments, they drive flashy cars.
He was sold. It would cost him around $600 to get to Qatar. He saved half, borrowed the other. He paid an agent to set him up with an employer in Qatar, said goodbye to his wife and son.
I thought maybe there was an opportunity, maybe I could come here and make a better life for myself.
When he arrived in the Gulf country, it was as if he was in a different world. He wasn't going to live in a comfortable apartment, no flashy cars for him. Instead, he was going straight to a workers' camp, where thousands of other workers lived. They came from places like India, Bangladesh, Nepal, Ghana.
When I came here, the camp was very isolated. You have to drive 10, 20 kilometers from the airport, very far.
Calton had stepped into one of the world's most controversial labor markets. Qatar and other Gulf countries like the United Arab Emirates have long been criticized for how they treat their migrant workers. Human rights groups have even described it as modern-day slavery.
The system of labor in Qatar is essentially set up whereby the employer has control of a worker's destiny.
Adam Sobel is a filmmaker with a new documentary about workers in Qatar.
So if you want to leave the country, you have to ask your employer's permission. If you want to switch jobs, you have to ask your employer's permission. If you want to quit your job, you have to ask your employer's permission.
That's true of Calton. He makes about $250 a month, not even enough to open up a bank account here. He says he gets little time off work, can't leave or find a better job until he finishes his contract. His employer keeps his passport until he does. Worst of all, he says, he feels segregated from the society.
We are laborers. We are not rich, so you cannot go mingling with the Qataris, or you cannot go mingling in places where rich people are, you know?
4 years ago, Qatar promised a wave of labor reforms. It said it's going to set a minimum wage, scrap the system that allows employers to keep a worker's passport. Another way the government has tried to improve its image is using soccer itself. It came up with a tournament just for the workers. Sobel, the filmmaker, followed Calton and a group of other workers as they competed in the qualifying games, organized by the Supreme Committee of Delivery and Legacy.
The Supreme Committee would tell you that they are organizing this tournament because they care about workers' welfare and they want to give workers a chance to participate. On another hand, I think that the Supreme Committee of Delivery and Legacy was pretty roundly criticized in the world media for the country's treatment of migrant workers. And they thought by organizing this tournament and kind of holding it up, they could show the world that they were taking workers' welfare more seriously.
Calton thinks the tournament was a publicity stunt.
They don't care about the workers. So if they really care about workers, they should come to perhaps visit the camps that we live in, perhaps. They would see how we live. They could see the conditions that we live, the kind of food we eat. They see what time do we wake up to go to work? What time do we come back home? What is the salary they pay us?
Kelton's team never qualified for the annual games. He says he's not interested in the tournament anymore. What if he gets injured? Who's going to take care of him? How is he going to send money home? As for his wife and son, he misses them all the time. He also longs for the freedom he had back home.
I miss adventure. You know, in Africa, there's you just go to the woods and the forest are there. You just take a nature walk. Things like that. I miss all of that. I miss.
If he'd known what it's like in Qatar, Kelton says, he wouldn't have left Kenya. Not that he had a lot of choice. He needed the money. But he says he hopes that 4 years from now, when the fans come to watch the games, they take a moment to think about the people who built the stadiums and the hotels.
Because at the end of the day, they just see the football players.
Remember, he says, they were built on the backs of workers like him.
People who are really working so hard. They work even harder than the footballers themselves.
The only difference is that they had no better options. For The World, I'm Shirin Jafari.
And I'm Carol Hills. That's all the time we have today. The World comes to you from the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH here in Boston. We're back with you tomorrow.